श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय, श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, जमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Hare Krishna. I presume here everybody believes in God. Huh? Now the question is, who is God? Who is God?
Krishna.
And although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He has many incarnations and many expansions. He has two types of expansions. One is his identical expansions. They are known as Swamsa. And the other is his parts and parcel expansions. Expansion as parts and parcels. And they are called Vibhinnaṃsha. We, the living entities, are his parts and parcels. Qualitatively, we are one, or we are similar to Krishna. Qualitatively, we are one with Krishna, but quantitatively, we are different. Qualitatively, we are spiritual. Krishna is the Supreme Spiritual Personality. But quantitatively, Krishna is absolute and we are minute. Just like a drop of water is water and the ocean also is water. Qualitatively, they are drop and ocean, same. But quantitatively, a drop is a drop, an ocean is an ocean. Nobody considers a drop of water to be ocean. Although both are water, there is a difference. So that Supreme Person, that's the first thing that we actually have to understand, that a jiva, a living entity, can never become God. Misconception has become very prevalent nowadays, that everyone is God. But this misconception prevails because they don't have proper understanding. Due to the lack of understanding about God, this kind of misconceptions prevail. Where and how can we understand God? In order to understand God, in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to approach the scriptures, and we must understand the scriptures under the tutelage, under the guidance of qualified teachers. We can't just take a book and read it and become a master in the subject. We have to study it under proper guidance. Then only we can properly understand the subject. Similarly, this is a subject, a spiritual reality, spiritual domain, the spiritual subject, spirit. There is matter and there is spirit. In the West, people don't actually have proper understanding of the spirit. They think spirit is the mind. No, mind is also matter, subtle matter. Spirit is completely non-material, is diametrically opposed to matter. What is spirit? Spirit makes matter function in a totally non-material way. Like, for example, matter by nature is inert. Matter is inert. Take any matter. This harmonium, this table, this seat, this floor, this room, this walls, this building, the road. These are all matter. And these are all inert. Matter by nature is inert. But we, although our bodies are made of matter, but we are not inert. We are conscious. We are living. Now what makes us alive? We can consider there's a distinct difference between a dead body and a living body. And a body that has been alive for so many years and had been functioning in such a wonderful way, all of a sudden, all the functions of the body stops. Why? Because the body was alive due to the presence of the soul, spirit soul, and when the soul leaves the body dies. To begin with, the body is actually a dead body. Body made of dead matter is what kind of body it is. Body made of dead matter is naturally a dead body. But this dead body is alive because of the presence of the soul in the body. As long as the soul is present in the body is alive. The moment the soul leaves the body becomes dead. Now, what is the soul? Where did the soul come from? What is the characteristic of the soul? If we want to understand, we have to study the appropriate books, scriptures. We can start off with Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, all these understandings have very clearly been given. At the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is distinguishing the difference between matter and soul, body and soul. And then Krishna is establishing the characteristics of the soul. The characteristics of the soul is this: it's immortal, it's eternal, it's indestructible. That is the characteristic of the soul. The soul cannot be killed. It cannot be cut by any weapon. It cannot be burnt by fire. It cannot be drowned in water, or it cannot be dried by air. The soul is totally unaffected by any of this material phenomena. And then we get to know that the soul is not a product of material nature. Rather, the soul comes from the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, there is a supreme spiritual personality who is the supreme controller, and he is God. And he is a person. It's not that he is an energy. Yes, he has a spiritual energy also, but he is not the energy, he is the energetic. This material nature is a manifestation of his energy, but he is the energetic. And that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Supreme Personality of Godhead comes from time to time in order to establish dharma. Dharma again, what is dharma? What is the religious principle? The religious principle is a law given by the Lord. Dharmang tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is not this dharma, that dharma. We have to understand that dharma is the law given by the Lord. And that's why dharma is established by the Lord himself, or by his representatives, by his son, or by the Messiah, his Messiah, by his representative. So, Whenever there is a decline in religious principles, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to re-establish the principles of Dharma. Law, we can say, whenever there is a decline of law and order, then the king comes and establishes the law and order. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead establishes the law and order. And that is Dharma. And in order to do that, he comes from time to time. He appears in every yuga. And he has different types of incarnations. Like all these understandings, all these informations have been very, very systematically presented in the scriptures, especially the Vedic scriptures. Vedic scripture not only gives us the informations about God, but the Vedic scripture gives the complete, detailed, perfect understanding of God and his activities, his incarnations. He has innumerable incarnations, but they fall into six different categories. He has various types of incarnations. There are six categories. Although he has innumerable incarnations, all those incarnations fall in these six categories. Like, for example, those six categories are: one is Purusha Avatar. They are Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Then Leela Avatar, Lord Ramchandra, Varahadev, Nrisingha, Kurma. They are the Leela Avatars. Then Yuga Avatars. There are four yugas, and in four different yugas, the Lord appears in four different ways. In the Satya Yuga, he appears in a white complexion. In Treta Yuga, he appears in reddish complexion. In Dwapar Yuga, he appears in a dark complexion. And in Kali Yuga, he appears in a golden complexion. So these are his Yuga avatars. And then Manvantara avatar. There are, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And during the duration of the Manu's, each Manu's reign, the Lord appears and prevails in a certain way, in different forms. They are known as Manvantara avatars. So how many we got? Purushavatar, Leelavatar, Yugavatar, Manvantara avatar. Then there is Shaktavesh avatar. Sometimes some living entities are empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is Purushavatar, Leelavatar, Yugavatar, Manvantara avatar, Shaktavesh avatar. That's the sixth one. Gunavatar. Right. There are three modes of material nature, and the Lord dominates those three modes in his guna avatar, as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So these are the six types of avatars. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in different incarnations, but he himself is the Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He resides in Golok Vrindavan. That original Supreme Personality of Godhead appears once in a day of Brahma. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, and the seventh Manu is Vaivashata Manu. During his reign, during the reign of Vaivashata Manu, the Lord appears in the 28th Chatur Yuga, in the Dwapar Yuga, and the Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Chatur Yuga. And that is Swayam Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form. Now again, what's the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His incarnations, His expansions? Actually, there is no difference. He Himself expands in that way. He Himself expands. There is no difference, identical. The difference is His original personality who actually is the who actually is expanding in different incarnations. There's no difference, like He Himself is becoming them. Like in Brahma Samhita, this point has been described as just as one lamp lights many other lamps, and when those lamps are lit, all the lamps give out the same amount of light and heat. But the first lamp is the one that lit the other lamps. There's no difference. All the lamps have the same amount of giving out the same amount of light and heat. There's no difference between the first lamp and the last lamp. The difference is that the first lamp lit all the other lamps. So similarly, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead who expanded Himself into different incarnations. So that original Supreme Personality of Godhead appears once in the Deha of Brahma. Now, the Vedic scripture gives a detailed understanding of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like for example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, different incarnations have been described. Actually, 22 incarnations of the Lord have been described categorically. And then described that there, in this way, there are innumerable incarnations of the Lord. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are His expansions. All these incarnations are His parts and parts of the parts. Ete changsha kalapungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. These are His expansions, but Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan swayam. That is Krishna. And there are informations that the spiritual sky has two specific regions. The spiritual sky has three specific regions. When we approach the spiritual sky from the material nature, then we'll come across Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual light. That region is eternally illuminated. That light is actually the spiritual energy, which is the cause of material creation. That is known as Brahma Jyoti. That's just the light. But when we penetrate through the light, then we come to the spiritual planets. Those spiritual planets are known as Vaikunthas. And in each planet, the Lord prevails. The Lord is present in each planet, each of these Vaikuntha planets, along with His associates. And there, they have a continuous loving exchange going on. The devotees of the Lord, the associates of the Lord, just want to serve Him. And the Lord not only accepts their service, He also serves them. It's a loving exchange. The devotees serve the Lord serves the devotees. Devotees love the Lord loves the devotees. In this way, there is a loving exchange. But that loving exchange generally goes on in the mood of servitorship. Because everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is the Supreme Master and everyone else is a servant. So everyone serves Him in that relationship. But beyond Vaikuntha, there is another region which is the topmost region of the spiritual sky, and that is known as Vrindavan, Golok. And in Vrindavan, the associates of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord, have a loving exchange with the Lord in a very special relationship. Not as servants, but as a friend, as father and mother, and as his lovers. So that is the topmost region of the spiritual sky. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or rather we can say the Supreme, Supreme Personality of Godhead, resides in that region, Golok Vrindavan. Now why Golok Vrindavan is very special? Obviously, because of these three kinds of relationship, like friendship, parental and conjugal. Friendship generally takes place between the equals. But it's not possible to have friendship with God. Because who can become equal to God? Now, friendship takes place between the equals. Now, in order to have friendship with God, we have to become equal to Him. Now, how can we become equal to Him? It's not possible. Now, at least friendship takes place among the equals, but parental, the parents are superior and the child is inferior. So there, the devotees of the Lord becomes superior to Him and the Lord becomes inferior. They become His father and mother, and He becomes their children, their child. And conjugal is a relationship like that of a lover and beloved, like a young boy and a young girl. And now these three relationships are not possible with the Lord, generally. But Vrindavan is the region where these three relationships are available. How these relationships are available in Vrindavan? Nobody can become equal to God, or nobody can become superior to God. But if God wants to become equal, then He can. If He wants to become inferior, He can. Or if He wants to be treated just like a lover, He can. But in order to do that, in order to allow that to happen, in order to allow these relationships to happen, one has to forget that God is God. So Vrindavan is the region where God is not God. He has become Krishna. He is just a cowherd boy. And we may not be able to develop friendship with God, but with a cowherd boy we can develop friendship. A cowherd boy can become our son, and so forth. So Vrindavan is a region where, as I mentioned, God is not God. Now how can a devotee forget God? Like a devotee always remembers God. Therefore, the Lord makes a very special arrangement where one forgets that God is God by His internal potency called Yogamaya. Now, forgetfulness can be of two types. One kind of forgetfulness is out of ignorance. And the other kind of forgetfulness is out of love. Sometimes out of love, intense love, we forget who that other person is. Like the son has become the state president or the prime minister of England. It is not that the mother doesn't know that her son is the prime minister, but the mother doesn't care. You may be the prime minister, so what? You are my son. And she doesn't treat him like a prime minister. She treats him just like her own son. Sometimes she chastises him, which nobody else will dare to do. Sometimes she may even slap him if he's late to come home or forgot about her birthday. So that is an example of forgetfulness out of love. Now Vrindavan is the region where everyone forgot that Krishna is God because of their intense love for Krishna. It's not that they do not know that Krishna is God, but it is not important that Krishna is God. To them it's not important. So that is the meaning of where the love prevails. The love prevails. The identity or the situation or the position becomes irrelevant there. They're not interested about God. Like once the gopis were searching for Krishna. When Krishna disappeared from Rasa dance, the gopis were searching for Krishna. And Krishna, in order to just have some fun with them, assumed his forearm Narayan form. He stood there with his forearms as Narayan. Now, the gopis knew Narayan is God, but they were not interested. They offered him obeisances and said, please bless us that we can find Krishna. They are not interested about Narayan. Why? Because of the intense love for Krishna. They only know Krishna. They don't care about anybody else. So that is the relationship of the devotees with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan, once in a day of Brahma comes. Now, once in a day of Brahma means what? How many of you know that? What is the longevity? What is the duration of Brahma's day? Okay, let's try to calculate. The time, as you know, moves in cycle. After a second, another second comes. Minute, another minute comes. This way, hour, days, weeks, months, year. This is how the time expands in bigger dimensions. And one of the larger dimensions of time is yugas. There are four yugas. One yuga is Satya Yuga, then Treta Yuga, then Dwapar Yuga, then Kali Yuga. So these are the yugas. And what is the duration of these yugas? How many of you know? Kali Yuga, what's the duration of Kali Yuga, the time that we are in now? Very good, 432,000 years. What is the duration of Dwapar Yuga? 864,000. Multiply it by 2, you will get the duration of Dwapar Yuga. Then multiply the duration of Kali Yuga by 3, you will get the duration of Treta Yuga. So that comes to 1,296,000 years. And what's the duration of Satya Yuga? 1,700,000 and 28,000 years. Now put them all together, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, that makes one Divya Yuga, celestial yugas. And so that means when you put them together, how much does it amount to? 4.32 million years. And thousands of Chaturyugas is a day of Brahma. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki. So that is one day of Brahma. That means 4.32 billion years is a day of Brahma. And in that calculation, Brahma has weeks, months, years, and he lives for 1,000 years. I'm sorry, 100 years. So he lives for 100 years. Anyway, the point is that once in a day of Brahma, that means once in 4.32 billion years, Krishna comes. Almost in the middle of Brahma's day. There are, in a day, there are 14 Manus, and the 7th Manu, like around, say, 11:30 a.m., Krishna comes, and Krishna reveals his pastimes of Vrindavan. So, so that is, that happens once in the day of Brahma. And in the following, now after performing his Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna considers that I reveal my pastime, but how will anyone enter into this pastime of Vrindavan? Now I don't know whether I am running into too complex areas. I mean, so far what I described, is it you all understood? Yeah, no problem. Great. Okay, so I'll just go on then. I'll give you a little background, what actually happened. Like this morning I gave a class in Bhaktivedanta Manor on Chaitanya Charitamrita every Sunday morning instead of Bhagavad Gita, instead of Srimad Bhagavatam, they have Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So I gave that class. And somehow Pradyumna Prabhu got to know about that. And he requested me that I give the same class here today. So it's not quite the same, but I'm trying to kind of make the same points what I was making there. So, Sri Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma and reveals his pastimes of his Vrindavan pastimes. Meaning, Krishna shows everybody that how he acts, how he has his exchange with his devotees as a friend. How he has exchange with his devotees as his mother and father and mother. And how he has his exchange with his devotees as his lovers, as his beloved. Like these are some very, very special exchange between the devotee and the Lord. Now Krishna considered that I have revealed my pastimes of Vrindavan, but how will anybody ever enter into this relationship? And he considered that generally devotees serve me in Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And by serving the Lord through Vaidhi Bhakti, when one achieves this perfection, he is elevated to the Vaikuntha, where the Lord is served as the Supreme Lord and Master, in the mellow or mood of servitorship. There everyone is a servant and he is the Supreme Lord and Master. Whereas Vrindavan mood is different. And one cannot enter into Vrindavan, although Vrindavan is the topmost region of the spiritual sky, one cannot enter into Vrindavan from Vaikuntha. Because in Vaikuntha one already developed his spiritual identity, spiritual relationship with the Lord. And that mood, that relationship is eternal. So that cannot be changed. So when one goes to Vaikuntha, develops his relationship with the Lord, he is eternally stuck there. So he cannot even go to the higher region. That means develop the relationship with the Lord in these three special relationships known as friendship, parental and conjugal. So in order to give that understanding, or in order to enable that facility, Krishna comes as a devotee in the following yuga, which is a Kali Yuga. After Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga, and one, Krishna comes in Kali Yuga as a devotee. He doesn't come in Kali Yuga as the Lord. He doesn't come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a devotee, comes as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes people wonder, oh, we know about Krishna, we know about Rama, but what is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Well, if you want to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to study the scriptures. How did you get to know about Ramchandra? How did you get to know about Krishna? How did you get to know about Nrisingadev? From your grandmother? Okay, your grandmother also learned it from the scriptures. The original foundation is the scripture. From the scriptures only we get this information. So if we want to know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to approach the scriptures. And by properly understanding the scriptures, we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are scriptures like Chaitanya Charitamrita, even Srimad Bhagavatam, even Mahabharata, describes about Krishna's appearance in the age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Long before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, it has been predicted that he will come, how he will come, what he will do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared about 500 years ago. Srimad Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago. Same with Mahabharata. And they describe about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, that he will come. 4,500 years ago, 4,500 years before Mahaprabhu's appearance, his appearance has been forecasted. And there, in this way, we can understand who he is. So Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to enable us to approach Vrindavan, in order to enable us to enter into Vrindavan. So, this again has been explained like Vrindavan is the region where the Supreme Personality of Godhead allows or enjoys three very special mellows of friendship, parental and conjugal relationship with his devotees, which is not possible otherwise, even in the spiritual sky. Now, a devotee serves the Lord naturally following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Bidhing, Bina, Vaikantiki, Harer, Bhaktir, Utpatoi, Vakalpate. That is, if sincere if devotional service, even though extremely sincerely executed, sincerely executing devotional service, but if it is not executed according to the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it will simply create a disturbance in the society. So, the rules and regulations of the scriptures must be followed. One cannot whimsically develop his relationship with the Lord. But by following the rules and regulations and rendering devotional service, one will end up in Vaikuntha. The devotees will serve the Lord following Vaidhi Bhakti, and by executing Vaidhi Bhakti, he will be elevated to Vaikuntha. Then how should one enter into Vaikuntha? Therefore, the Lord appeared not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as a devotee. Now, when this devotee Supreme Personality of Godhead is rendered devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures of Vaidhi Bhakti, then one becomes qualified or eligible to enter into Vrindavan. So the simple point is that you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead following Vaidhi Bhakti, you'll enter into Vaikuntha. But you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee following Vaidhi Bhakti, then you'll enter into Vrindavan. Make sense? Well, this is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why Krishna appeared in this age as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that devotee, Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did he do? When you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just telling, serve Krishna, become a devotee of Krishna. Krishna is God and become his devotee. So Krishna himself, appearing as a devotee, is teaching us, Krishna is God, serve him. He is not saying, I am God, serve me. Other ages, Krishna says, when he comes, he declares openly, I am God, and surrender unto me. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Sarva dharman parityajya mamikam sharanam braja. Give up all your so-called responsibilities and duties and dharmas and just surrender unto me. Surrender unto me, he is saying. And he is saying, I am this, I am God. I am, everything emanates from me and everything is resting in me. Everything is sustained by me. So he's declaring his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't do that. He never said that I am God. He's saying Krishna is God. And it's very interesting to note why he did that. Why he did that? Because he knew that in this age, many, many people will claim that they are gods. Therefore, God himself didn't come as God in this age. We see, like a person gets 5 or 10 followers and claims that he is God. And everybody tries to promote him as God. Big newspaper, God has come. And there are so many gods. And that is the unfortunate condition of the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, everybody is recognized as God, only God is not recognized as God. Therefore, God had to come and say, Krishna is God, worship him. So, that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he came in order to give something that was not given before. What is that? That this loving relationship with Krishna. What kind of loving relationship? Like the loving relationship between a young boy and a young girl. Krishna is a Navakishore, a 15-16 year old young boy who is just turning from Koishor to Jovan. Koishor is juvenile, up to 15. And youth starts from 16. So he is just at the borderline of 15 and 16. And the gopis, the cowherd, he is surrounded by the cowherd girls in Vrindavan. They are all 15 and below. 14 years, so many months, and so forth. And this is the eternal age. They're always like that. Krishna is always that 15, 16, and the gopis are about 15. And they have a wonderful loving exchange. And that is the highest loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. And who is Srimati Radharani? Radharani is actually the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency. Krishna has many, many, many different types of energies. They are generally classified into three categories: Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini. Sandini is the existence aspect. Sambit is the conscious aspect, consciousness aspect, and Ladini is the pleasure aspect. So all of Krishna's pleasure is provided by this Ladini Shakti. And this Ladini Shakti is personified as Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is therefore the source of all of Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's enjoyment. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the energetic, these are all his energy, but he is the energetic. The ultimate culmination of all his energy is in Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is the energetic. And when the energy and energetic become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an incarnation of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And he is something more. That is Krishna himself along with Srimati Radharani. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving us? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us an access to the topmost region of the spiritual sky. He's showing us the means, the way to go back to the spiritual sky, the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The age of Kali, this particular age is very, very degraded age. It's a very dangerous age. This age is extremely degraded and extremely miserable. But this age has one great advantage. And that is just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, which has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can very easily achieve his ultimate spiritual perfection. The spiritual perfection, to achieve spiritual perfection, is very, very difficult. But this age has such a wonderful characteristic. In one hand, it's the most degraded age, but at the same time, this age has one most wonderful spiritual benefit. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Prajit. So I was speaking about serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Vaidhi Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti means following the injunctions of the scripture, instructions of the scriptures. And the scripture is saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is served through Sankirtan. That is congregationally chanting the holy name of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave this holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when we collectively chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we are actually serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The way to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is by chanting the holy name congregationally. And the holy name is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we chant this Maha Mantra, we sing this mantra loudly, and we try to get everybody together to join us in this chanting, and that is the process. That is the way to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the result is we can be elevated to the topmost region of the spiritual sky. How? By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He made the arrangement, so it's up to him how he is going to take us there. Let him worry about it. And as far as we are concerned, let's just chant the holy name of the Lord. We don't have to worry about anything else. With an implicit faith in the words of the scriptures, in the words of the sadhus, we have to just follow the process and the result will be there. Okay? So what are you going to do? Wonderful. So we can chant Hare Krishna. What will be the result? Everybody? At least you understood? I'm sure you understood.